Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday, June 27th, 2015, and this is show number 15.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, not talking to you.
God Thoughts Radio's on the air. I'm Pastor Brad, and I want to talk to you today about something that has destroyed countless churches, countless nations throughout the centuries, and in fact, it is destroying the United States of America, even as I speak. The Bible calls it lawlessness, and it is the common denominator in hell. You know, as it turns out, today's broadcast is very prophetic because yesterday, in my opinion, here in the United States of America, June 26, 2015, was one of the darkest days in United States history. The spirit of lawlessness was on full display as the Supreme Court of the United States embraced same-sex marriage and made it legal in all 50 states. Just another American law now in opposition and rejection of God's law. You know, I want to read for you a paragraph from Judge Roberts' dissenting view. It's actually 29 pages long. I'm just going to read a few sentences here, but he said the following, quote, "Under the Constitution, judges have power to say what the law is, not what the law should be. Today, however, the court takes the extraordinary step of ordering every state to license and recognize same-sex marriage. Many people will rejoice at this decision, and I begrudge none of them their celebration. But for those who believe in a government of laws, the majority's approach is deeply disheartening. The majority's decision is an act of will, not legal judgment. The right it announces has no basis in the Constitution or this court's precedents. The majority expressly disclaims judicial caution and omits even a pretense of humility. As a result, the court invalidates the marriage laws of more than half the states and orders the transformation of a social institution that has formed the basis of human society for millennia. Just who do we think we are?" End quote. Well, tragically, here in America, we have become a lawless nation. And as a result, the day of the judgment of God draws near. You see, when those who are responsible to uphold the law disregard the law, acting as if it doesn't exist, well, whether it be a church or a nation, the Bible teaches clearly that God's judgment is soon to follow. So let's talk about this subject of lawlessness, and let's begin by establishing some definitions. First of all, we're talking about what the Bible generally calls sin. However, there are several Greek words that describe different aspects of sin. I just want to identify two so that we've got some working knowledge of what this all means biblically. Now, the most common Greek word that is translated in English sin is hamartia, and it simply means missing the mark. If you picture, it's actually an ancient military term, if you picture someone with a bow and arrow shooting at a bullseye or a target, and he misses the bullseye. Well, the distance between his miss and the bullseye is called the sin mark. And generally, that kind of sin has an element of ignorance or naivety to it. However, not so with the word that is translated lawlessness. The Greek word there is anomia or animus, and it means without the law. It is by far the most extreme form of sin. It is known, willful rebellion over time. You see, anomia is not only violation of the law, it is lawlessness. See, violation means to break the law, but lawlessness to abolish the law, to act as if the law doesn't exist, And here's a key thought for us in this day and age. You see, for the lawless, the ends justify the means. There's no ultimate standard on which they base their behavior. The only law of conduct for the lawless is self-will. Let this sink in as you think about what's going on in the United States of America today. I'll say it again. The only law of conduct for the lawless is self-will. The United States has returned to the place where ancient Israel once was, as described in Judges 17:6 and Judges 21:25. And it said, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And so you go back to Matthew 7:21. You've heard me mention it so many times before. This is why not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You see the contrast between those who submit to God's will as opposed to those who are lawless and their only law of conduct is their own will. So having established that, let me identify biblically some key characteristics of lawlessness that I think will be helpful. I want to go first to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 through 10. And again, how prophetic this message has been, was prepared weeks ago, how prophetic that it comes the day after the Supreme Court's decision. Quoting from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 through 10, it says this, and I quote, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. You see, lawlessness rejects God's word, despises God's ways, and acts as if the law doesn't exist. And you know, I find it noteworthy that God chooses to specifically and especially highlight murderers, immoral men, homosexuals, kidnappers, and liars as examples of lawlessness. Why? Because each example epitomizes self-will as opposed to God's will. You want to know something? I don't know what you'd call it. Scary, horrific. You fill in the adjective, but it was lawlessness that brought about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Quoting from 2 Peter 2, verse 8, it says this, for by what he, that is Lot, saw and heard, the righteous man while living among them, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. You see, the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, that this mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And one of the key Bible verses from today's study, and by the way, I trust you've got a Bible in one hand and a notebook in the other, but when Jesus was asked, what will be the signs of the times as we get closer to your return? In Matthew 24:12, he told us that lawlessness would be increased. Most people's love will grow cold because lawlessness will be increased. Now, I want to spend the majority of our time today talking not about lawlessness in our country in general. That's understandable to me. What else is there for people who do not know God, for people who have blatantly rejected God's authority? But what I wanted to talk to you primarily today about was lawlessness in the church. Did you know that Jesus saved his harshest rebukes for religious leaders within God's people? Did you know that, in fact, the Bible is clear? Jesus absolutely hates lawlessness. He abhors it. That's not my opinion. I'm quoting from Hebrews 1:9. This is why Jesus railed on the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, so much. As an example, in Matthew 23:28, he says, so you too, outwardly, you appear righteous to men, but inwardly, you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You know, sadly, I've witnessed God's judgment against lawlessness in the church firsthand. It was about 2 years ago now where I watched as one man's lawlessness destroyed an entire church. because of one man's lawlessness in a single day. The senior pastor left. The associate pastor left. Those were the only two pastors in the church. On that same day, half the church left. And subsequently, tens of thousands of dollars in kingdom assets were lost. And even a million-dollar building was not only lost, it was turned over to the enemy for the promotion of anti-Christian evil. I'm sad to say that here now, almost 2 years later, the judgment continues because of one man's lawless refusal to repent of his lawlessness. And this is precisely, this is exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, when he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. For many will say to me on that day," and note that these are all church people, "many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Again, in Matthew 13:41, we have the affirmation or the reassurance that there is a coming day when God will separate the lawless from within the church. He will separate the wheat from the chaff. Matthew 13:41, he says, "The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they'll gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and all those who commit lawlessness." You see, there is no such thing as lawlessness in heaven. And so I want to teach you today how to identify lawlessness, because it's not easy. And in fact, we're going to take a look at four biblical ways that I've identified. And so let's begin that process right now. You see, the Bible tells us that lawlessness is pervasive in the church, and yet most of the time it's not perceived. And the big question is, why is that? Well, the scripture further warns that in the last days there is a man of lawlessness. I believe that's referring to the Antichrist. It's going to arise in this age of apostasy, the great falling away of the church, which we're in right now, this age of delusion that we are in this very day, and this man of lawlessness is going to mislead multitudes. You can read about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 12. But for my purposes, my great concern is, how will this be possible? And the way I read my Bible, it says that the answer is found in our human nature and our propensity to only judge by outer appearance. Remember what Jesus said in John 7:24? He said, "Don't judge according to outward appearance, but rather judge with righteous judgment." Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 23:28? He said, "So you too," of the Pharisees, he said, "you guys outwardly appear righteousness to men, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." You see, Jesus was looking beyond what his physical eyes see. And we need to learn to do that very thing as well. Because, you see, God is not fooled by outward appearance or deceitful words, because he knows what's inside of a man. And while it may be true that we don't share the supernatural capacity to see as God sees, the Bible does give us about four ways, or at least four ways that I've found, where we can identify lawlessness wherever it exists. And the first one is very simple, and that is, know your Bible. Dear brothers and sisters, what can I say to you to encourage you, to motivate you, to inspire you, to discipline you, to know what your Bible says? I plead with you, this is your greatest hope. The vast majority are deceived today because they do not know their Bibles well enough. Oh, dear God, I pause right now and I cry out to you for everyone who is listening to today's broadcast, that you would loose from heaven a divine inspiration, a divine anointing, a divine motivation, the gift of discipline to study the Bible and to read the Bible and to meditate on it and to memorize it. In Jesus' name I pray. Hebrews 5:14 tells us that solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And the single greatest way, in my opinion, to have your senses trained for discernment is to know your Bible. Now, the second thing that we can do with regard to identifying lawlessness is to pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit's supernatural gift of discernment. The Holy Spirit has a gift toward that end in 1 Corinthians 11. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the distinguishing of spirits. The Bible says to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And it's my opinion, this is not corroborated by the Word of God, this is just my opinion, but in the day, an age of delusion in which we live, the single greatest gift that is necessary in the church today is the gift of discernment. Now, the third way to identify lawlessness is what the Bible calls testing the spirits. And the Word of God instructs us to be like the Bereans. That's from Acts chapter 17, verse 11. To receive the word with eagerness, even today's broadcast. Don't trust what I say. Don't take for granted what I say is truth. It is your responsibility to be like the Bereans. Go back to the Word of God and determine whether or not what I'm telling you is the truth. If it lines up with the Word of God, then receive it. But if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, reject it. And the same is true. I give you the same counsel with regard to your church and your pastor. It is your responsibility in this age of delusion. You've got to know your Bible. Go to church. Receive the word with eagerness, but don't accept it. Don't you dare receive it until you've confirmed it with the word of God. Test the spirits. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Is your pastor a false prophet? How do you know? Now, God's word has given us a fourth way to identify lawlessness. And as I've experienced, this way is perhaps the most easy to visibly identify. And it has to do with adversity. You see, adversity always reveals the inner man. If lawlessness is present, the adversity will reveal it. Remember Matthew 7:21-23, where Jesus exposes lawlessness in the church. He says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. This whole list of church works, but Jesus refutes it, and he says, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Well, the full context of that continues in verses 24-27, and let me read that for you right now. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, but it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. You see, adversity, when it enters into the human condition, there is one of two responses. Either people will cling to the Word of God, rely on the Word of God, and submit to it, or they will show their lawless colors, and they will revert to their own will. You see, it's so incredibly true. I've seen it time and time again. There are countless examples in the Bible. In times of peace and prosperity, the spirit of lawlessness can be extremely difficult to perceive. But in the day of adversity, lawlessness will always take center stage. So I want to conclude today by returning to the Supreme Court's decision yesterday, embracing same-sex marriage as being legal in all 50 states, embracing an American law that is both in opposition to and in rejection of God's law. You see, in the United States, lawlessness has now become lawful. Indeed, just yesterday, we had lawless judges make a lawless decision affirming lawless behavior. And the Bible speaks quite clearly to this in Romans chapter 1. And again, very prophetically, I would declare, this is what it says, reading from verse 18 in Romans chapter 1 and following. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what he has made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but rather they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Therefore, God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own person the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. And although they know the ordinance of God, and those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. And I'll close today with a quote from one of my favorite books of all time by Pastor Jan Hedinga. It's entitled Follow Me. And he says this, so in the final analysis, and I quote, hell is a provision of love to force people who are in rebellion against God to submit to his kingdom against their will would be cruel to those people. So for those who refuse the offer of God's loving rule, there is a place where they can be free from it forever. And that place is called hell.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.